Arizona, as we saw it in the spring of 1966. Arizona is divided in two distinct sections, the plains of the southwest and the elevated mountain and plateau region of the northeast. Over the whole state are sharp ranges of mountains cut by deep valleys and canyons. The largest mountain area in Arizona is in the east-central part of the state, bordering the New Mexico line. The White Mountains cover nearly 2,000 square miles and average over 7,500 feet high. The southern and western parts of the state are still more desert-like than the arid northern plateau. Here is a more striking growth of desert plants, including dozens of various of cactus. Arizona became a state in 1912, so we think of it as very new. But in fact, they were white men in Arizona before the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock. Arizona covers three distinct periods: the Indian, the Spanish occupation, and the American period. Before the coming of the white man, the region was occupied by a prehistoric race that left the ruins found today throughout the state. The first man, white man, to visit Arizona was in 1539. He traveled from Mexico in search of the rumored group of three very wealthy cities. He found but did not enter a group of Indian villages, which he believed were the wealthy cities. The following year, Coronado led a military expedition. He entered the cities, the Indian cities, but he did not find the gold. The first successful Spanish mission work was started in 1692 by Father Kino, founding missions throughout. He converted thousands of Indians to the Catholic faith and gained them a fine knowledge of agriculture, arts, and science. But for many years, the fierce Apache Indians prevented much settlement. The uprisings of 1802 and 1827, as well as the disorders at the time of the Mexican Revolution, forced the abandonment of all settlements, ranches, and mines except Tucson and Tubac. Mexico flag replaced that of Spain. American hunters and trappers drifted in Arizona during the first half of the 19th century. The Treaty of Guadalupe in 1848 and the purchase of 1854 gave the territory to the United States. It was amended to the Union as a 48th state in 1912. We made our headquarters in Phoenix and from there took several trips. One to the south, and the first thing we visited was the Casa Grande ruins. Casa Grande means big house and is a remarkable example of the construction techniques of the early American Indian. Although the building lies practically in ruins, it has withstood for about 600 years. Built of clay, Casa Grande is four stories high. The first story was filled with earth as a supporting or strengthening device. The next two levels provided a living space, and the top floor served as a watchtower. In addition to this main building, there are ruins of other village dwellings. As early as AD 700, a group of Indians known as the Hohokam farmed the area and developed a system of irrigation canals. About the beginning of the 14th century, the Pueblo Indians, who settled along the upper Salt and Gila rivers, joined them to build the Casa Grande and other village buildings. The structures were used for a relative short time. By 1450, the village had been abandoned. The ruins were discovered in 1694 by Father Kino and at that time must have been standing for over two centuries in much the same condition as they are today. Going on south, we went to Tucson and there visited the mission San Xavier. It is 9 miles southwest of Tucson and is called the White Dove of the Desert. This is perhaps the most beautiful example of Spanish mission architecture in America. The domes and carvings and arches distinguish them from other missions. The interior decoration and the altar are exceptionally noteworthy. Before 1700, Father Kino laid the foundation for the first church, which probably stood about 2.5 miles north of the present site. In 1769, enemies of the order caused them to be driven from all Spanish possessions. The construction of the present mission occupied the years from 1783 to 1797 and was the work of the order, Franciscan order. The missionaries were forced to leave San Xavier in 1828, but returned in 1911, and since that time have maintained old San Xavier as the main church and schools of the Papacos. This is the only Kino mission still active in preaching to the Indians. From Tucson, we went farther south to Tombstone. The town Too Tough to Die was perhaps the most famous of Arizona's old mining camps. One of the soldiers who left there was told that all he would find was his tombstone, so his first mine claim he named Tombstone, and Tombstone gradually the entire settlement adopted this name. He made his original stake in 1877 and with two partners found the Lucky Cuss Mine in 1879. It was the first of the three they owned. Rumors of the rich strike spread rapidly and Tombstone soon became a boom town of tents, shacks, saloons, and dance halls. Its days of lawlessness and violence was climaxed by the famous Earp Clanton battle, which was fought near the OK Corral. Active mining lasted only 7 years before the rising underground waters forced the suspension of operations, but in that time it produced millions of dollars in silver and gold. Crystal Palace has been restored to its original grandeur. On the second floor was offices, and this is where Earp had his office. The OK Corral gun battle site is where the big battle was. And the Wells Fargo is now a museum. It has 30 wax figures, which includes Earp's, Clinton's, and Doc Holliday's. The Birdcage Castle, Birdcage Theater, was built in 1881. This once lusty honky-tonk of the Old West remains practically unchanged. Original fixtures, furniture, and interior have been preserved intact. 14 private box seats, self-suspended from the ceiling, provide exclusive seatings for the leading families of Tombstone. Eddie Foy was among, and many others, famous entertainers performed here. From Tombstone, we went west to Nogales, Arizona. It's a popular port of entry for United States travelers and a rich town in Spanish history. Across the border is Nogales, Mexico. Colorful markets and shops featuring pottery, leather goods, baskets, silver, glass, and tin items, and other native handcrafts are the main attraction of this Mexican border town. On US 89, 18 miles north of Nogales, the Tucumcari National Monument was established in 1908 to preserve the abandoned mission San Jose de Tucumcari, built by the missionaries on New Spain's northern frontier. The present church is of the same period as the California missions. Some 80 years before laying out his California missions, the Father Kino pioneered this vast land of Pima Indians. This is the village of Tucumcari in 1691. Although the missions owe their beginnings to Father Kino, the church is still standing in southern Arizona and northern Mexico were built by the Franciscans who came in the area of 1768. Tucumcari's present massive adobe church, under construction for more than 20 years, was begun in 1800 and never completed. Apache raids, Mexican neglect of the frontier, and terrible winter contributed to its final abandonment. Travelers of the 1850s described this mission as deserted and in partial ruins. Back to Tucson, which is a city of rapid expansion being experienced in the Arizona industry and population. The city is one of the oldest Spanish settlements in the West. In 1692, Father Kino visited the Indian village, which stood near this site. The first settlement was made in 1776 on the site of the Indian village. It was protected by an adobe walls and was made the only walled town in Arizona. We went out to the Tucson Mountain Park, 8 miles west, which is a state game refuge in abundant in wildlife. Approximately 30,000 acres in the Tucson Mountains and adjoining Mesa land, and it embraces one of the largest areas of swaya and natural desert growth in the southwest. There are several Indian pictograph figures and designs on rock formation to be seen during a 35-mile drive through the park. There are 17 miles of foot and horse trails. We have visited the Desert Museum here in Mountain Park, which features living animals and plants of the desert area. On display are larger animals and snakes and native birds. An unusual exposition shows. Other exhibits include Water Street, showing the features of erosion and evaporation and other factors. Trails lead through well-labeled botanical gardens. After taking many pictures of the cacti and the cactus flower of each, we went back to Phoenix. Our next trip was a picnic up to what they call the Rim. We went up there with friends and brother and wife from Phoenix for a picnic. They have friends up beyond Payson, building a hunting lodge area. Payson is surrounded by Tonto National Forest, and here is excellent hunting and fishing, and much camping grounds and lumbering. The canyon, you look down from the rim, is covered with pine, and huge ponderosa pine trees are here. And it was quite an experience. We saw snow on some of the places where the sun hadn't hit. And it was a very pleasant and beautiful trip. We made a visit out to Old Tucson, which is 12 miles west on Tucson Mountain Park Road. The town originally built of adobe bricks was erected in 1940 by the Columbia Pictures for the filming of the movie Arizona. A special interest is the old Mission Church with the adjoining graveyard, the jail, stage depot, trading post, saloon, morgue, and hotel. Stagecoach, pony, and frontier train rides. Various museums recreate the Old West. Gunfights are staged throughout the day. Our next trip was to the north on U.S. 89. Montezuma Castle Monument, National Monument, contains ruins of prehistoric cliff dwellings. The castle for which the monument was named was built by Pueblo Indians during the 13th and 14th century. It is the best preserved of its type, with a foundation built in a vertical cliff 46 feet above the slope. The building is 43 feet from top to bottom, with about 30 feet of cliff overhanging. Each unit of this 20-room house was built and occupied by a family or group. The castle was a perfect natural fortress, inaccessible except by ladders. The cliffs and hilltops around Beaver Creek are dotted and honeycombed with the ruins of pueblos and cliff dwellings. From 200 to 250 people once lived here and farmed along Beaver Creek. Tours into the Montezuma Castle were discontinued in 1951 because of danger of collapse. Nearby is the ruins of another larger pueblo excavated in 1934 and still accessible to visitors. Sycamore Trail, a self-guiding tour, offers several good views of the castle. It enters the lower floor of the larger ruin and returns by Beaver Creek. A scale model of the interior Montezuma Castle is set up on the trail. From Montezuma Castle, we started for Flagstaff, which is at the foot of the San Francisco Peaks. Flagstaff has experienced a period of rapid growth. It is originally a railroad town, but now it has oil discoveries within the four countries, corners of oil country, a dam project in Grand Canyon. The city is known for commercial, lumbering, cattle, and tourist interests. And second county in area, the United States, larger than Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island combined. More than 92% of the land is controlled by federal government and national forests. Half of the sheep in the state is raised in this county. With the San Francisco mountains covered with snow, much of the time it is quite a skiing area. 16 miles northeast of Flagstaff is Sunset Crater, an extinct volcano. Dominates the surrounding fields of cinder domes, lava squeeze-ups, and spatter cones, and inactive hot springs in the 3,040-acre monument. The 1,000-foot cinder cone is of comparatively recent volcano period. When the volcano erupted in 1064, a few terrified Indians fled but returned later to find the soil land productive. Marked foot trails lead to the summit of the crater and over Bonito lava flow, which includes a small ice cave. A paved road crosses the lava flow. The monument is usually closed by heavy winter snows. About 45 miles northwest of Flagstaff by US 89 and paved entrance road Upaki National Monument contains 35,693 acres. The area is accessible throughout the year from the main highway. The connecting road to Sunset Crater is closed during portions of the winter. The region, one of gaunt Jupiter-dotted mountains sloping away to the bare red rocks of the Painted Desert, was the scene of a prehistoric Indian land rush in the 12th century. After the late 11th century, eruption of the Sunset Crater made farming productive. This became one of the most densely populated sections of northern Arizona until the winds eventually removed or drifted the water-retaining cover of ash and cinders. The inhabitants of Upaki are believed to have been, in part, ancestors of the Hopi Indians. Within the monument, there are more than 800 ruins, some of them in good state of preservation. Upaki ruin still stands with most of its original three stories and is an outstanding example of the ingenuity of prehistoric man in defending his dwelling. One of the most impressive ruins is Upaki, Hopi word for tall house, containing more than 100 rooms which have been partially excavated. Nearby is a ceremonial amphitheater and ball court, features rarely seen elsewhere. Then on down the road a ways is the Citadel. The Citadel is an unexcavated apartment house of about 40 rooms and built on the edge of the lava-capped limestone sinkhole. The loopholes in the walls give this ruin the aspect of a fortress. In addition to these structural types, there are earth lodges on the mesa tops and isolated one or two room field houses which used by the Indians in summer while tending their fields. Most of the ruins were occupied from about 1100 to 1225. There is a self-guiding trail through the ruins, which may be seen during the daylight hours. And then on 89 through the Painted Deserts and the Limestone to the Glen Canyon and Page. Deep in Glen Canyon on the Colorado River in northern Arizona, a recent completion of the Glen Canyon Dam was a gigantic task. More than 5,400,000 cubic yards of concrete were needed to create the powerhouse, tunnels, and dam, which is second in size in the United States. Rising some 700 feet from the bedrock, the dam not only gives the irrigation project and generates power for industrial and mining activities, but also impounds Lake Powell, once accessible only by foot or horseback. Rainbow Bridge National Monument in Utah may now be reached from Glen Canyon by boat in 1.5 mile hike. Until a few years ago, Glen Canyon itself was nearly impossible to reach. The canyon was not named until 1869, when Major Powell made a boat exposition down the Colorado and called it Glen Canyon for the oak glens that lined the narrow river banks. Mormon settlers slowly peopled the surrounding area but did not penetrate the canyon itself. US 89 now opens the once remote country and is a good alternate route to Bryce Canyon and Zion National Parks. Glen Canyon National Recreation Area includes a 186-mile-long Lake Powell and the surrounding shorelines, designated for a capacity of 28,040,000 acre-feet of water. Lake Powell will have a shoreline of some 1,800 miles. The blue waters of the lake reach into numerous side canyons, covers, and inlets. and spectacular beauty, affording the boater an ever-changing vista of towering red rocks and walls, once accessible only by foot or horseback. Rainbow Bridge National Monument may now be reached from Lake Powell. The National Park Service at Glen Canyon is one of the major recreational facilities on Lake Powell. Facilities include rental boats, motors, launching ramp, and trailer park. Glen Canyon Bridge. The first phase of the Glen Canyon Dam construction is the highest steel arch bridge in the world. It required 2 years to build. US 89 crosses the bridge 700 feet above the Colorado River. Walks on both sides of the roadway permit spectators to cross on foot. The little town of Page is 2 miles northeast of Glen Canyon Bridge. Is a new town. The community was built to house the Glen Canyon Bridge and Dam, construction workers and their families. There are 3 or 4 motels here, and this is where we stayed all night to start our trip back the next day. On Route 89, you go through the Indian Reservation. 1/7 of the Indian population of the United States is centered here. That is, 1 out of 20 persons in Arizona is an Indian. A total of 19 Indian reservations comprise 1/4 of the state's area. Largest of these is the Navajo, which occupy the northeastern corner of the state. The Indian culture long has been a part of this land. We saw this Navajo Indian woman side of the road, and Stanley stopped, and I went back and asked if I could take a picture. She said, peso. So I took a picture, and I gave her a peso. Kept holding on it, peso. I thought, well, 1/4 was much more than a peso. And Stanley had given me his little coin purse rather than for me to carry my big purse. So I gave her some more money, and I took another picture of her. And she kept saying, peso, peso. Finally, I emptied all the coin there was and showed her that that was all I had. But she kept saying, peso. So started down to the road to the car, and I saw these sheep by the road. So I took their picture, and as I got up to the car, I turned around. Here she was coming after us. So we hurried up and got in the car and took off. We stopped at Cameron, where there's a very nice trading post there. Then on to Flagstone, where we tried to get there for lunch because we'd had such a lovely lunch at the hotel there going up that we wanted to eat there coming back because, as you may know, there are very few places, many, many miles apart from where the places you can eat. So then after lunch, we took off for the Oak Creek Canyon. As grand as the Grand Canyon is, we enjoy the Oak Creek Canyon more because you go down through it. It's considered one of Arizona's most beautiful canyons. Oak Creek is traversed by US 89A south of Flagstaff. The highway begins 1,500 feet above the stream at the head of the canyon and winds to the canyon floor. The cliffs, brilliantly colored in white, yellow, and red, are covered in spots with pine, cypress, and Jupiter. Rocky gorges, unusual rock formations, add much interest to the drive. The gorge was locale of Zane Grey's novel, Call of the Canyon. Oak Creek, noted for its excellent trout fishing, follows the canyon floor. Throughout the canyon are free picnic and camping and many resorts. Page Spring Fish Culture Station, a large fishing weir facility, is in lower Oak Creek Canyon. Sedonia is at the southern end of the canyon. When we were through here in 1950, They were very few resorts or homes, and Sedona was just a place or two or three buildings, and we were amazed at the number of buildings all along. Beautiful resorts, homes, trailer camps, and Sedona itself is quite a little town now, and beautiful homes built all the way on up the mountain. Taking State 179 out of Sedona is an impressive contemporary church built against the walls of Oak Creek Canyon. A huge cross rising from the rocks dominates the structure. This was a very interesting. We drove off the highway through a small dirt road up to the church and went and then took steps on up and into the church, where you get a beautiful view from the window out looking on the beautiful rocks. Then on back to Phoenix, where we late getting in and saw the lights of Phoenix as we came in to the big city. Just a short distance from Phoenix is Mesa, a very interesting town in the center of the Salt River Valley. Mesa was founded by Mormon settlers in 1878. The city is surrounded by an agriculture and fruit growing region. The ancient Indian irrigation ditches in this area since about AD 500 were used by the early settlers. Today, modern irrigation projects utilizes portions of these old canal routes. The Mormon Temple, a beautiful structure, is closed to the public. However, free guided tours are provided, which describes the building and tour of their gardens of beautiful flowers and their fruit-growing trees. From Mesa, we start for home, going through up through Florence, Superior, on the southern edge of Tonto National Forest. Superior has one of the deepest and richest copper oil mines in the nation. Then through Oak Creek Gorge, Queen Creek Bridge and Tunnel, just east of Superior at the foot of the Apache Leap on US 70. The bridge and 1,200-foot tunnel are part of the scenic stretch highway through Devil's Canyon. Then on up through Globe and through Salt River Canyon, which was beautiful. You're way up high, elevation 4,362 feet is the little town, and then you're high above that and come down into the little town and then back up on this high road winding back and forth, and then on through Sholo and on through our way on 60 home. This is Arizona as we saw it this last winter, which it presents a sharp contrast as to its scenic and centers. Metropolitan centers of Phoenix and Tucson are far from sprawling cow towns, trading posts, and Indian villages. The sharp contrast of mountains, snow-covered, and desert. The mission church and the modern-day church of today, the flowers of the desert and the beautiful cultivated flowers, the hogans of the Indians and the beautiful ranch-type homes in the cities and on the mountainsides, and the beautiful shopping centers with their covered air-conditioned malls, and they have many tall modern buildings in the city of Phoenix too, which back in 1950 I can't remember seeing any skyscrapers, but they have some beautiful buildings now. So if you haven't seen Arizona, I hope these slides will make you want to go. And if you have been there, you'll want to go back again.